Well, welcome to another episode of the Brand Janu Show. As you know, I am Brand Janu, and like always, on all podcast platforms everywhere, Brand Janu Show, social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook, Brand Janu Show, and of course, YouTube channel, Brand Janu Show. Go comment, subscribe, follow, man. Like if you like the video, man. I hope you guys enjoy this. Shout out to everybody that is liking and viewing the clip that I posted for Wrestling Life that happened this weekend. So I hope you guys enjoy this. So let's get to it. So tonight is I Bleed Sports. It's been a minute since I've done this, man. It's been a minute since I've done this. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And so let's get into it, man. So I just did this episode, but somebody called me, so I had to kind of like redo it. What I want to talk about tonight is what I want to talk about to start it off is the the women's basketball game kind of dominating college basketball conversation right now, and for good reason. The women are killing it. If it is true that the women, if it is true, it's true. I said before I went on hiatus for this podcast, I said that well, for this podcast series, I should say. I said the women's game, the Final Four for the women was way more intriguing than the men's Final Four tournament, because the women actually have more of the stars over there. You got Angela Reese, you got Caitlin Clark, you got Juju Watkins, you got Paige Bueckers. You have the entire South Carolina women's basketball team, coached by one of the greatest women basketball players of all time, and Dawn Staley. And you in the men's basketball game, you can't even. I can't tell you one star in the men's basketball game, not one. So is it shocking that the women outrated the men? Not even close. Not even fucking mentally close. Because we follow stars nowadays, man. And like I said, the women's game has way more superstars than the men, which brings me to Caitlin Clark. Now, I feel like a lot of people that don't like Caitlin Clark, is because of how the media is portraying her, and that's the biggest problem with it. And that's why I feel like a lot of people, when people say, you know, I don't really think she's that good, I don't really, I got, that's not really somebody I purposely think it's good like that. You're only saying that because of how the media has portrayed her. And that is all on the media. The media is the biggest fucking problem with a lot of shit nowadays. And that is, they sat there and continuously portray her as America's sweetheart. And they always do this, I hate to say it, but they always do this with white women. Why is a white woman always America's sweetheart? Like, I don't get that. Like, and that's her biggest flaw, because it's not her. Because she can play. It's not like she can't fucking play. Like, she actually deserves all of the respect and accomplishments that she is given, and the flowers that she is getting, because she actually can't fucking ball. That's not the problem. The problem is when she loses, and the media want to run out here and dub her like this innocent person when she talks shit in games. Like, no, she's a basketball player. If you talk shit, you talk shit. That's what you're supposed to do. That gets you hype. But it went back from last year where LSU. Shit, even before then, like before the championship game last year with them and LSU, she was doing shit in the game against Louisville. She was doing the "you can't see me" shit in the game against Louisville. Like she was trolling motherfuckers in that game. Like, and that's what got so many people talking about her. Then she went against South Carolina, and she was doing some disrespectful shit in that game. Like, I said, I get that shit twisted. But I think where people got hurt is when she went up against LSU and she lost. And Angela Reese made it pretty damn obvious, like pretty damn clear, like, yo, like you was talking a lot of shit and we bust your ass. That's what's supposed to happen. But you're not, and this is the problem with the media. It's like you can't be talking about how you love it when she does it, but then when somebody does it to her, now you want to scream foul. Now you want to cry about it. How dare they do this? Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't do the I dare they shit because you had no problems when she was doing it. This ain't got shit to do with a woman shit. Or even color sometimes because it just feels like. If you want to sit up here and make it abundantly clear that sports is talking shit and being that way, it's one thing if Caitlin Clark was quiet and she didn't say shit to nobody and she just shot the ball and made her shots and didn't talk shit. I can see how you would feel about that. But for her to also have this demeanor of, I'm the best thing on the court. I can play my ass off and you can't stop me. That's what a prom kicks in. It's like, she's not hiding her confidence. She's not hiding her cockiness. There is no guard up when she comes on the basketball court. She's out there talking her shit. She deserves to. But you cannot sit up here and say when Angela Reese does it or South Carolina does it to her that they should be ashamed. Because at the end of the day, man, this is sports. This is basketball. This is the only sport that is truly one-on-one, that's a competitive sport. That is literally, even though we're a team, it's one-on-one. Your best player versus me. And that's the thing. Yes, race plays a factor. Yes, being a woman plays a factor. But I think the biggest problem with this is how the media has portrayed this shit. And that is where I feel like the media has to shut the fuck up. The media plays too much, they do too fucking much. And at the end of the day, you cannot protect someone that comes off with the cocky nature. That just isn't gonna work. And stop dubbing everybody a fucking American sweetheart. Good God Almighty, that shit is fucking annoying. But all in all, man, it's getting quite great. Yeah, she's good. She can do her thing. Do I think she's the best women's basketball player I've ever seen? No. I grew up with Candace Parker. Like, I saw Candace Parker dominate. I saw Brittany Griner, who I can't remember if Brittany Griner ever won a national championship. I don't think she did because I know she was in the UConn era. Yeah, so and she also had like Skylar Diggs and yeah, I can't remember if Brittany Griner ever won a national championship, but I think she did. I can't remember. But I grew up in a Candace Parker era, man. Like that girl was fucking different. Like Tennessee, you could barely beat Tennessee, like when she was on the court. Like that shit was ridiculous. And I remember when LSU and Tennessee used to have them battles, man. So yeah, but is she the best woman? Even in this era, like I don't think she's the quintessential game changer. Like everybody, like I've seen a Caitlin Clark before. Kelsey Plummer from Washington Huskies, who play now for the Las Vegas Aces. She can ball. She actually was one of the leaders of the. She actually had the scoring record for women for a minute. Before Caitlin Clark came into this league, she was the one that had the single season scoring record for women. Sabrina Ionescu, who plays for the New York Liberty, who was at the NBA, the men's All-Star game, going one on one with Steph Curry for 3-point contest, and if she actually participated in the 3-point contest with the men, she probably would have won the fucking trophy. So I've seen Caitlin Clark's. Like, I've seen it. Do I think she's the game changer that everybody thinks she is? Time will tell. But to be honest with you, I think the person that's actually going to transcend the WNBA, she's in college right now. And that's Juju Watkins. I think she's going to be the one that's going to be known as the best basketball player when it's all said and done. That girl could play, man. So, yeah, not dissing Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is a beast. She's going to go number one in the draft this Monday. She's going to be everything she needs to be. But I don't think she's a game changer like everybody thinks she is. She's good. Can she shoot the fuck out the ball? Of course she can. But so can Sabrina Ionescu. That's my opinion on that. Let's switch to the men. The NBA, I should say. We are, I think this is the final week. Yeah. Next week would be the final week of the NBA season. The NBA are getting to the end of the season. And the Western Conference looks like they got their teams in. So does the East, of who's going to be in, who's going to be out. So as it seems, it's going to be what Minnesota. I think Minnesota and Denver are still battling to see who's going to be number one. OKC's third seed right now. But it's all about the bottom of the Western Conference right now, which is the Pelicans at six right now, thanks to the Phoenix Suns losing last night. And that shit was fucking embarrassing. To lose the way they lost at home, that's not good. Like, goddamn, bro. Like, shit. New Orleans takes the sixth seed right now. They're the sixth seed. Whereas for the Phoenix Suns are seven. Then the Kings are eight. The Lakers are nine. And the Warriors are 10. Oh, no, the Warriors beat the Lakers last night, so I think they're nine, and the Lakers are 10. What about a week or two to go in the NBA? The play-in situation is very simple. Lakers versus Warriors. Kings versus Suns. A lot of people cannot believe that the Suns, the Lakers, and the Warriors are playing in the play-in. I could. The Warriors felt like a team. I know I said I thought the Warriors would get to the NBA Finals this year because I did, but damn, this team sucks. Like, they have their ups and downs. So does the Lakers. So does the Suns. That's why they're in the situation they're in. But the team that I feel like could truly, truly, shock a lot of people is the Sacramento Kings. They're quiet. They haven't played up to potential this season. I thought they would be better than they were. I thought they would be in the top five, top four conversation with the OKC Thunders, with the Minnesota Timberwolves, teams that I actually thought would be really good this season. I don't know who the fuck is the fourth seed in the West. I know Denver, I know Minnesota, I know OKC. I forgot who was the fourth team in the West. I want to see. The Clippers? I think the Clippers are four? Or maybe it's Dallas. Like, Dallas, who even is shocking some shit. But every team has a flaw. And I think that's the problem with the Western Conference. Now, when you look over to the other side of the bracket, which is the Eastern Conference, the East has a problem. It's Boston, and then it's everybody else. I know Boston lost last night to Milwaukee. It is what it is. But if Giannis is already coming in with an injury, and he's now going to miss the final three games of the season, I personally do not think Milwaukee has enough to beat Boston. Now, Orlando, who has shocked a lot of people this season. I don't think they're ready yet. I don't. The Knicks, who just lost Julius Randle for the entire season, if they were healthy enough, I think the Knicks would make some noise. I think the Knicks could have gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals this season because they have the players and the ability to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, where the situation lies is who does make the Eastern Conference Finals with Boston. And that's kind of the biggest question moving forward because to me, the team that I think will make it to the Eastern Conference Finals with Boston is actually Cleveland. And then the Cleveland Cavaliers make the Eastern Conference Finals because they're the one team that nobody really knows truly too much about. They can instantly get that. But here's the problem with that. I think Cleveland right now, I want to say, is fifth in the East. Yeah. Because Orlando's third, which is fucking shocking. Oh, the Knicks are third. Yeah, the Knicks are third. Orlando lost last night. So the Knicks are third. Orlando's fourth. And the East is such a bundled up fucking thing. It's like the most bundled up ass situation. Like, even in the West, you got at least some space between the six and five spot. The East, every fucking team's either a game and a half or half a game behind each other. Like, this shit is bad. Outside of Boston, in the East, everybody's in a fucking fight to get to South spots in the East. And that's the thing, man. I don't know what's gonna happen with the East. Just like the W well, just like the women's in the NBA, women's and men's in the tournament. I think the East is the most intriguing one because outside of the West, you might not get LeBron. You might get one of these teams in, which is either the Lakers, the Warriors, or the Suns. I don't think you're getting all both of two teams are in. I don't think that's happening. I think you're either going to get one team or yeah, you're going to have to get one of these teams in. And we shall see which one. But in the East, Joel Embiid just came back from Philly. Miami's always a threat because they're fucking Miami. Like I said, Cleveland, if they can somehow some way find a way to maneuver up to the three spot and don't have to play Boston in the second round. Indiana, a team that I truly believed in from the moment of the season starting at six right now, so they have a chance to definitely make some noise. Atlanta's always a threat because Atlanta's such a fucking team that just like they could win or they could lose, and we don't know what Atlanta is until they get into the playoffs. But yeah, man, this NBA playoffs is gonna be fucking intriguing. It's gonna be definitely intriguing to say the least. Boxing. Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. You got Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. That's still one of the most craziest fights I've ever heard. I know Shakur Stevenson announced he's fighting somebody soon. Tank Davis is coming back to the ring to fight Frank Martin. Looking forward to this. The summer of boxing is going to be pretty fucking intriguing. You just had this massive fights that just recently happened with Pitbull Cruz taking what to say the junior welterweight title, I think. No, it's not the welterweight. It might have been. Yeah, it might have been a junior welterweight. Nah, yeah, welterweight, something like that. He just moved up to, yeah, I think the welterweight division. But it might have been a welterweight, I think. But Pitbull Cruz absolutely dominated Rolly Romero. And if I would have did the I Bleed Sports episode around that time, I would have easily told y'all Pitbull Cruz gonna win that fight. Rolly Romero is cool, he can box, but he relies a little bit too much on his power. And once he realizes he can't get that power off, he's a sitting fucking duck. He can't block like that. He's not a great defensive fighter. He doesn't really have, outside of the power punches, he doesn't really have anything. And if you watched the tank fight, you would have saw that shit. If you watched the fight at the tank, when he fought that old man, and the old man tagged his ass. Like, Pitbull Cruz is an animal. That dude is a, he has ner he's earned the right to be called Pitbull, because that motherfucker was gonna go get him. But it was the fight after that, which I want to talk about, was the title match after that, which brings it to the conversation of who's next to fight to become the undisputed champion, which Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. Terrence Crawford, of course, beat Errol Spence last year. So it makes sense that Terrence Crawford is the first one that gets the crack at the ch new champion. The other thing, Terrence Crawford wins that fight. Who knows? This dude is like 6'6", some shit like that. Tall as a motherfucker. But I do think if anybody could crack the code, it is Terrence Crawford. Now, will that mean Errol Spence gets his shot at some point? I think Errol Spence needs a tune-up fight. I've always said to Errol Spence cannot just jump back in the ring with Terrence Crawford. He needs a tune-up fight. He needs two tune-up fights. He needs a couple fights under his belt before he gets in that ring. He got to get his confidence back, one. And two, he's got to be in an actual fight with someone that resembles what Terrence Crawford does. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I know they just released the Fury and Usyk trailer. Like I said, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, I think, fight 420, I want to say. So in a couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to that, man. Which leads me to the last thing on the agenda, which is football. So Stephon Diggs got traded to the Houston Texans. Who didn't see that coming? Not Stephon Diggs getting traded to Houston, but I definitely saw Stephon Diggs getting traded. And I've been saying, and if you watch me and my brother Juan's show for a while, you know us. We have said Jack's Wild Sports Show on YouTube, Jack's Wild Sports Show. We have literally said that for a while, Stephon Diggs is leaving Buffalo. We just knew it was coming eventually. We knew it was coming because you can feel that it ran its course in Buffalo when it came to Stephon Diggs in the Buffalo Bills. I thought it would have happened last year, around that last year. I thought he was going to get traded. When you hear his head coach literally come out and say, when he asked him at the first what training camp, "Yo, Stephon Diggs is not here. Are you, how concerned are you?" "Oh, I'm very concerned. I'm very, very concerned that Stephon Diggs is not here." That tells you all you need to know. Now, here's what a conversation really does kick in for a lot of people. Josh Allen. Now, when the problem kicked in for Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, some people say, you know, around last, this is the thing. Stephon Diggs leaving Josh Allen is something. That is something. That is a massive thing. Especially when, if you're Buffalo, you don't have a necessary number one anymore. Stephon Diggs is not there. But you also lost Gabriel Davis in free agency to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So you don't really have anybody to throw the ball to outside of your tight ends. And I don't know how much of Dawson Knox helped is going to come into play in this season, because it came into play last year. That's why Dalton Kincaid became such a dominant force for that team. And plus, you don't run the fucking football. You don't run the ball with James Cook too much. So now you also have now, you lost your receiver. You lost both of your receivers. One of your tight ends is always hindered at some point during the season. You have an actual running game, but you choose not to use it, and you choose to use your quarterback to run the ball. Yes, Buffalo's going to suffer from this because there's no way around this. And I've seen people with takes that's like, Josh Allen is going to be okay. Buffalo's going to be okay. No, they're not. They lost a lot of fucking talent this offseason. And as much as I clowned Dallas last night with me and my brother Juan, that I show, Buffalo's in the same fucking boat. They did not fix the defense. They lost more talent on that defense than anybody can tell you. And then now the offense, if you say Stephon Diggs was a cancer, cool, whatever, do your thing. But Josh Allen, for the first time, because let's throw out his rookie year and his second year, because we didn't know what he could become. And now he is that. Now he's supposed to be this prominent player. Well, now you don't have a weapon. So let's see really what you are. Because for the first time in your career, you have no rely. Well, first time since your rookie second year in elite, you really have no predominantly weapon out there on the football field with you. There is nobody you can just dial up for one big play now. That person's gone. That element of that team is gone. So now, Josh Allen, this is your team. And this is the one thing about Patrick Mahomes. Why Patrick Mahomes is so great, because all of last season, Patrick Mahomes did not have a number one fucking target outside of Travis Kelce. And even last year, Travis Kelce, that wasn't his best fucking season. He even struggled last year. This is the reason why Patrick Mahomes is considered one of the greatest, because if Josh Allen goes out this season, it immediately takes a nosedive back to where he was his rookie in his second year in the league. Can we stop with this bullshit that he's the fifth, he's in the conversation of the best quarterback in the league? Because I don't think he is. I think he left that conversation the year before this. Like, yeah, you might say last year was like the first time you're like, ooh, wow, this is interesting. No, I say when you're at home in a playoff game and it's your place and you let Joe Burrow walk his ass in your building and whoop your ass, and it wasn't even close. The shit wasn't close. You're at home. You have home field advantage, and you got your ass handed to you. I'm sorry. You're in my conversation. You're in my conversation. I'm sorry. You're in my conversation. And before people start this up with me and say, well, how do you feel about Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson's had less and still made shit happen. This motherfucker had a Pro Bowl, two Pro Bowl receivers for the last couple of years. It can only get to the highest level is the AFC Championship game. That's it. Lamar Jackson had less and still found ways to win. So don't sit up here and tell me. And here's the thing, Lamar Jackson is still hitting his peak. I can't say that about Josh Allen. I don't know that about Josh Allen. I don't think he will be that guy without Stephon Diggs. Y'all can hope and pray he will be, but I don't think he will, because he actually will have to step it up to another level. Because now, again, you're going to have to be Patrick Mahomes this season. No receiver. You got two tight ends, which is really good, but like I said, Dawson Knox is compromised a lot at certain points during the season. And I love Joe Brady, but he's going to have to design an entire new offense that is not predicated on Josh Allen, because if Josh Allen goes down, Buffalo season is done. You can't run Josh Allen like you did the last couple of years, because now you can't run that risk. At least if Josh Allen goes down, at least you still have Stephon Diggs. You're like, yo, we could plug a quarterback in, and Stephon Diggs can still be there. He can still not be the number one guy for us. That's not there no more. I got no problems with if people want to have this conversation. And you want to sit there and tell me Josh Allen still has a chance to be the best quarterback in the league? Okay. But Lamar Jackson got some weapons this season and went to the AFC Championship game. And he won his second league MVP. Josh Allen ain't even done that shit yet. He ain't even done that yet. Like, stop it. Fucking stop it. Just fucking stop it. All in all, They used to Texas All In. See, Dallas, this is what All In looks like. This is when you actually go all in on a team and you believe in your quarterback and you believe that you guys can actually be good. This is what you do. You go get a running back, Joe Mixon. You go get a receiver, Stephon Diggs. You bring in defensive players to help the defense. Darnell Hunter, guys like that. You don't sit there and say, we're going all in. And then 5 seconds later, barely signed Dak Prescott back. You letting people create stories out there and putting stories out there that Micah Parsons is actually a problem child and that you might be looking into maybe getting rid of him during the draft. You don't do shit like that. Yeah, that's all in, all right. This upcoming draft is going to be interesting because we don't know who's going to get traded. We don't know who's going to take the draft picks. We don't know who's going to go up and take the steps. If you've been watching me and my brother Juan the last couple of weeks, we've been doing our mock draft tonight. I think it's the 25th pick. We got Green Bay. But it's pretty apparent that, and actually, this is the first show I've done since I think the Justin Fields trade. Yeah. I still don't think Chicago's 100% sold on Keller Williams, and I don't think Keller Williams is 100% sold on Chicago. But since they made that trade, it is what it is. But to me, my biggest problem with the NFL draft right now is JJ McCarthy getting talked about like he's the best quarterback prospect. But yet, when you turn on tape, this kid can't throw the ball like Michael Penix Jr. But yet, Michael Penix Jr. is getting treated like he didn't also play in a national championship game. Like, he didn't have the numbers to be the second fucking person behind Jaden Daniels for the Heisman this year. Michael Penix Jr. finished second in the Heisman votes this year. Not Bo Nix. Not J.J. McCarthy. Not Caleb Williams. Not Drake May. Michael Penix Jr. And for some apparent reason, he's the one that's not getting any love. He's the one that's not getting any consideration of being the second overall pick or the third overall pick. Fuck that. The first overall pick? I don't get it. This draft is going to be interesting. I will say that. And tune in tonight. Well, this episode is going to be out after, but tune in tonight. Definitely tomorrow, too. I think we got Tampa Bay on the clock after this. But until next time, man, I am Brandon Janu. This is I Bleed Sports. And also, man, this is the first episode I've done of I Bleed Sports since my father passed. And one of his last text messages, one of my his last text messages to me that he sent me was that he loved this show. Last text message, one of the last text messages he's ever sent me was that he loves I Bleed Sports. And he couldn't wait for baseball to come back too. Damn, he passed away before baseball even came back. Damn. But yeah, so I gotta get back to doing this show a little bit more because that was the last text message. One of the last text messages my dad ever sent me. Was he loves this show I did. So, and he's one of the reasons why I love sports so much. So, definitely, man. So I'll be back next week. Yeah, next week. I got a lot going on. But I'll be back next week at I Bleed Sports again. I'll be talking about baseball. I'll be talking about the fight that's coming up this upcoming next Saturday. Next Saturday, yeah. April 20th, yeah. We'll talk about the fight that's happening next Saturday, and I will also be talking about the playoffs. NBA playoffs will be officially here. I'll be talking about the play-in and what's going to happen. So until next time, man, I am Brandon Janu. Also, in the draft, will be around the corner as well. So I am Brandon Janu. This is I Bleed Sports. Peace.